I'm Steve Kraske, and this is KCUR's Up to Date. We all work with that guy, the one who warms up smelly leftovers in the break room microwave, or just has to ask one more question to prolong the meeting, or shows up to work sick and infects everyone. Yeah, that guy, the one you just want to punch in the throat. Today, best-selling author and Overland Park resident Jen Mann takes on the annoying, demeaning, idiotic coworkers and bosses who can make a perfectly pleasant job a grind and a bad job absolute hell. As Mann recounts her own frustrating work experiences, we'll try to figure out how to tell that guy how we really feel about him. We'll get you up to date after this hour's news. Ever had a boss who, or coworker who's, let's just say, difficult to deal with? Someone who, when you have to interact with them, has you carrying on two conversations, the one actually coming out of your mouth, so to keep your job, and the less than polite one going on in your head? Lucky for us, there's Jen Mann. What others would only dare think she's been putting into words on a blog and in books since 2011. In her latest, Working with People I Want to Punch in the Throat, Mann traces her own history with jobs, with humor and sharp, raging rants, speaking for the millions who silently fume their way through their workday. Jen Mann, welcome back to Up to Date. So good to have you here.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Well, you are unflinching in your writing, as you are wont to do, and not just about the people who set you off, but about yourself as well. Is that a conscious effort, you know, that you're not going to point out other shortcomings and idiocy without pointing out your own?
Definitely. I think that, you know, if you're going to be a humorist and you're going to make fun of everything, you're part of the story, too. And I have to make fun of myself. I think people don't think I make fun of myself enough, maybe, that maybe I pick on other people too much. But I do always try to make sure that I'm in there somewhere.
Well, your working life started in your teens, like a lot of kids, doing what is not an unusual first job, which was babysitting. But you landed three babysitting gigs, Jen, and you credit part of that to not being a popular kid at school. How did that work?
Well, I made a lot of money, so I was happy about that. Yeah. I had no social life. I had no friends. So I was a good one. You know, I wasn't that babysitter who was on the phone or you worried that maybe she'd have her boyfriend over while she was supposed to be babysitting the kids.
You were a good girl.
Yes. If anything, I maybe ate too much out of your pantry. And, you know, and I like to watch. Everyone else had better cable than we had at home. So I was happy to stay up late and watch TV and eat stuff and take care of your kids.
Stay out as late as you want. I got this covered.
That's right.
So Marcy gives you an important lesson in negotiating a salary. You take the job and then she wants to make it exclusive. Here's a clip of our producer reading that part from Working with People I Want to Punch in the Throat. But first, can you set this one up for us? Who's Marcy?
Marcy was a woman who, she lived across the street from us, and she was my first employer. She hired me to babysit her. She had quintuplets. And,
oh, wow.
And so...
Quintuplets.
Yeah.
And that's five,
that's
right?
That's five. And it was sort of... They were like an urban legend in the neighborhood. No one really believed they existed because, you know, you wouldn't really see them outside very much. And I think they were about three when I started babysitting for them. And she'd been spying on me for a while and watching me and just to make sure that I was a loser who didn't, you know, who didn't throw parties and things like that. And so finally she said, okay, my husband and I, we want to go out every Saturday night and we need you to babysit our kids every Saturday night. And so she paid well for that, but she told me that was exclusive and that if anybody tried to hire me on a Saturday night, because even on Saturday nights when she decided not to go, they would send over a kid with some money for me. And then she'd say, you know, don't take another job.
Okay, well, let's listen to this clip from Working with People I Want to Punch in the Throat.
Good, Marcy said, nodding. Now listen carefully. Word's going to get out that you're my sitter now. It's going to get out mostly because I'm going to tell Margot, and that's going to spread like wildfire. They're going to all start calling you, the neighborhood hens, and ask you to sit for their kids. And that's great. I hope you get a lot of business from this. But do not take less than $10 an hour from any of them. I don't care if it's one sleeping baby or four little nightmares who swing from the chandelier. It's minimum $10 an hour. Got it? You're worth it. Also, some of them might even try to book you for a Saturday. You can never, ever, ever give up your Saturday to anyone else. Saturdays are mine. I own Saturdays. Always count on it. I don't care if they offer you $15 an hour. I'm your Saturday job. They can give you $15 on Fridays. Do we have an understanding? I nodded. Of course I said, because really, who else was going to pay me $10 an hour to babysit? But Marcy knew what she was talking about. That night, I received a phone call from Betsy, the alleged drunk. You don't know me, but I'm looking for a babysitter, and you've come highly recommended, she said. By who? I asked. Everyone, she replied. I need a sitter for this Saturday night. I pay $12 an hour. I'm sorry, I already have a job for Saturday, I said. Cancel it, she said. I'm paying $12 an hour. It was just like Marcy predicted. No, I'm sorry, I can't, but I can do Friday, I said. The woman sighed heavily. Fine, Friday, but I only pay $8 on Fridays. $8 was still a ton of money, but Marcy's words haunted me. No, I'm sorry. My rate is $10 an hour, I said.
Wow. You learned your lesson, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah. Well, can you stick around for a short while we take a break here?
Sure.
Great. Okay. This is Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. Our guest this morning is Jen Mann of People I Want to Punch in the Throat fame. Her latest book is about working with people. She'd like to do that, too. Jen, I want to ask you about your dad, because I like him in this book. He was pretty good at introducing you to the real world and letting you know it was time to get a job. This was after college. You wanted to be a writer. He wanted you to be employed. What was his suggestion?
I think you're talking about when he wanted me to go work at Quick Trip.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah, my dad has always been, you know, you can do anything you want, sweetheart, as long as you can pay your own bills.
Yes.
And so I'd graduated from college with a degree in English, and he was sort of like, what are you going to do with that now? And I thought, well, I'm going to be a writer. And he said, not in my basement. So he had a great idea that I should go work at the QT at Quick Trip at the overnight shift, because then I would have, it'd be slow and maybe I'd have some time to get some writing done. Mm-hmm. And then that way I could have both of my careers, but I could pay my bills, had good benefits, it had a good salary. You know, what's the problem? Like, I could get murdered. And he's like, nobody gets murdered at the Quick Trip. You'll be fine. So yeah, that's my dad.
Thanks a lot, Dad.
Yeah.
Great advice, Dad.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't stay in Kansas for long after finishing college, despite your dad's advice. You wound up going to New York City, and not for a job, but for a guy. How did you meet?
Yeah. You got to read that book.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I met him online. I met my husband online, and he lived in New York.
I met him.
Yeah, and I lived in Kansas City. And we decided that we wanted to be together, and it was a little hard to do it long distance. And so I thought, well, I'll move to New York. Because, again, all writers live in New York. That's, you know, I was still trying to find that writing
it's
career.
It's serendipity. He's there. New York's good for writers. Off you go, right?
Exactly. And so I moved there and still couldn't find a writing job. And so we lived there for a few years, and then we moved back here to Kansas City in, I guess, 2002. We moved back.
What did your parents think of your move to New York? What did they say about that?
They were pretty supportive. I mean, when I think back now, like, they probably were just freaking out because, you know, I'm this young single woman. I had no job. They barely knew this guy. I'd met this guy on the internet, and they didn't know anything about him, really. And I'm moving across the country and finding an apartment and this sort of thing. So, but they were like, no, you'll be fine. So they were pretty supportive about it. But they visited me a lot, and they flew me home a lot. You know, we saw each other quite a bit still.
To make sure things were going okay. They were checking in on their little girl then at
that's
that point.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you were not a slacker at job hunting, but the Big Apple can be a tough market. So you ended up doing what a lot of people do in that city. You found positions through a temp agency. Run down some of the different jobs you worked.
Oh, man. Because I wanted to be a writer, they started me off at a magazine. And I worked at a magazine, but I worked in the basement of the magazine checking, like, copyrights and things like that. The most boring job,
wow.
I think. Well, I thought it was the most boring job I could have, but nope, I found more boring jobs.
Yeah.
But it was just, I never got to write. And they paid me very little, and I was supposed to be excited about perks like lipstick. You know, they were like, but we have free lipstick. I'm like, yeah, but I can't eat this week. You know, and they're like, yeah, but we'll have, like, a happy hour later this week, and you'll be able to fill up there.
Yeah.
So it was a very interesting place. And then I worked for I worked for another company briefly a couple days that all they did was communicate with me by like instant message. They had like an inter-office instant message. And so the boss never spoke to me. He just would send me instant messages, which was really weird. And so, you know, at another place, this was like the 90s, and I had a place that still wanted me to wear, you know, pantyhose. And they were like a tech company. And I'm like, I thought you guys are the guys with the hoodies and the sweat, you know, and the tennis shoes. And they're like, well, we are, but ladies need to dress like ladies. So you still need to wear, you know, pantyhose and a suit dress. And I was just sort of like, this sucks. And so, yeah.
It's so interesting. All these different companies, all these different cultures. I mean, so it's how different one company can be for another.
Man, they were all very different, but they were all still very, you know, New York is kind of an interesting place because they work hard, but they work like 9 to 5. The day starts at 9, which is here in Kansas City, our day starts at 8. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I was like, this is great. Because they're like, and they were always surprised that I'd get in on time. And they're like, you're amazing that you get on time. And I'm like, I have a whole extra hour. This is, are you kidding me? And so they all thought I had this crazy, strong Midwestern work ethic, which I still don't know what that is, but I used that a lot. And I was like, yeah, I'm super Midwestern and strong. You should hire me. So
was there a worse job of the lot?
Oh, you know, no, I think, you know, I never really took a job that, like, I absolutely hated. I think it was more like after you got there, you realized this wasn't the best fit for you. I think the worst, though, was the worst interview I had was I interviewed with a plastic surgeon who spent the entire time telling me all the things he could fix on as a perk. Like, he was like, don't worry about the salary, don't worry about the hours, but your nose. Let's talk about your nose.
Oh, you're kidding me. Was that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, I felt pretty crappy after I left.
Well, my nose is fine. Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, well, that's it. I was like, well, my nose has never been my favorite. And he's like, what about your chin? I'm like, I've never even noticed my chin. I'm like, there's something wrong with my chin.
Oh.
And so by the time we were done, he was going to, I could have saved, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in plastic surgery if I took the job, but I didn't take the job.
Did you have a favorite temp job?
My favorite temp job? Gosh, no.
Is there such a thing?
No. I think the one that paid me. I think, you know, the nice thing about being a temp, though, was that I really didn't feel like I had to care that much, I guess. You know, I'm just a temp. I just do what I'm told. I clock in and I clock out. And so I liked that where I didn't have to play the games. I didn't have to play the corporate games and figure out what the culture was. I just had to dress right, show up on time, and do what they told me to do. And then I could go home and I didn't have to stress if something was due tomorrow. And I was like, no one told me to do that. So
how'd you like New York City?
I loved New York. New York was a great place to live. I loved it as a younger single person. Once we started talking about getting married and having kids, I just couldn't imagine doing that there. It's just so expensive, and it's just really hard. I mean, we would have had to put our kids on a wait list for schools, you know, while they were still not even thought of yet, let alone conceived. And I just didn't want to do all that. I wanted to come back here to Kansas City where I could have grandma and grandpa who could babysit for free because I wasn't going to pay $10 an hour.
Well, that's Jen Mann of People I Want to Punch in the Throat fame. This is Up to Date on KCUR 89.3. I'm Steve Kraske. I'm talking with Jen Mann, author of Working with People I Want to Punch in the Throat, that takes us through her work life with her trademark humor, sarcasm, and a little bit of rage tossed in. You know, one of your jobs along the way, Jen, was as an assistant to a person you referred to as Mr. Ambrose, a fellow Midwesterner, and it was also the last job you worked in New York. Why?
Really, it was because of today. It was because of September 11th. I was there for September 11th, and it really, I don't know, it scared me a lot, and I didn't like how the city became after that. We were always on edge. We were always having warnings of some kind and evacuating buildings. My husband and I, we'd gotten engaged yesterday. We got engaged on the 10th, and I'd come into work that morning all excited to tell my coworkers, only to find everybody huddled around a television, you know, watching what was happening just a few blocks downtown from us. And after that, I just couldn't imagine living there with children. And I don't know, I wanted to be off that island. I didn't like being on an island. I felt very trapped that day. I had to walk home across a bridge, and as we walked across the bridge, fighter jets flew overhead, And somebody said, oh, you know, USA. And I said, how do we know that they're Americans? I mean, I didn't know. And I kept waiting for the other shoe to drop. I kept waiting for bridges to blow up, something, anything. But after that, I just was kind of, I'd kind of had enough and I was ready to go.
And you were ready to go. You came back out here to Kansas. You had a job prospect. What were you planning on doing when you got back here?
I was planning on selling real estate. I decided to start real estate. My uncle...
I could see you doing that.
Yeah, well, yeah. I enjoyed it. That was probably been my favorite job besides writing.
Really?
It was probably the best fit for me. My uncle has suggested it, and I sort of thought he was crazy because I never felt like I was good at sales. I didn't, you know, and... But he explained to me that real estate is really about relationships. It's not about sales. It's about building relationships with people and keeping in touch with them. And, you know, as their family grows, their needs grow, their home needs grow, and you just grow with them. And I really, really loved real estate. It was a great job for me. And I was really glad that he pushed me towards that and kind of suggested that, because it would have never been anything I would have thought about for myself.
What neighborhoods did you sell houses in?
I mostly sold in Overland Park. I live in Overland Park, and so I mostly sold Overland Park. But I remember sort of I think I'd had my license for 2 weeks or something, and I was at the sales meeting in our at our brokerage, and somebody raised her hand, a bigger realtor who'd been doing it for years raised her hand, and she said that she had a listing in Kearney, Missouri. She had a listing opportunity in Kearney, Missouri, and she said, I really don't want to go to Kearney, Missouri. If anybody wants it, they can have it. And I was like, I'll take it. And I just, at that moment, I thought to myself, I'm going to go. Like, if someone thinks enough to call me and give me an opportunity to work with them, I'll go to Kearney, Missouri. I'll go anywhere. And so I ended up selling all over this city. I'm licensed in Kansas and Missouri, and I could go to both sides. And
were you good at it?
I think I was. I think, you know, maybe some of my clients will call in and tell me how much I sucked at it. But you know, no, I think it was a good fit for me. It was a good balance, especially because at that point we had a baby right away, and it was a good job to, I could take him with me a lot of times, and because I was working with friends, I was working with people who I've known for years, and they were like, oh yeah, bring the baby, he'll be fine, and I'd put him in a little baby Bjorn, and we'd go show houses together, and sometimes they'd hold him, and
yes.
You know, so
it's a selling point.
It was a selling point. He was a good little assistant, you know. People really, you got a lot of looks from him, so yeah, it was really fun. It's a great job for a mom because you could set your own hours, and I could sort of set my own sales goals, and I could do that. So.
Well, speaking of babies, as you put it in the book, I figured out I didn't have a tumor, and instead my birth control had failed, and I was 12 weeks pregnant. The delivery of your son went well, but pick up the story with what happened to you afterwards that kept you in the hospital a few days longer.
Well, he'd arrived prematurely, and so we were still staying in the hospital with him. He was in the NICU, and they were letting me board. And we went to visit him. And on the way back, I just felt like I was in labor again. And I told my husband, I said, there's something going on. I'm giving birth again. And he was just like, what? And, you know, it's been 4 days or something. And I'd felt terrible since his birth. And I was 32, 33, something like that at the time. And the nurses kept telling me I was old. And they kept saying, well, you know, you're quite old. And so, you know, that's probably why you're not bouncing back very quickly. And I was just like, lady, I'm not that old. But, and so it ended up though that I mean, I don't want to get gruesome on the radio, but it's a gruesome story. I had extra placenta that I delivered. And it required surgery.
Oh,
let's put it that way, you know.
Okay.
And so, but my husband, you know, it was just the two of us in my room, and I'm like, get the nurse, and and the nurses all came in, and because they're like the recovery nurses, like they're not there for labor and delivery, like they were just sort of like, and they all just put like this really fake smile on their face, and they're like, okay, That's interesting. I'm going to go get my supervisor. And you'll just sit here. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not going anywhere. Like, I can't move. I have this thing. And then she's just like, okay, great. So we're just a second. Okay, great. And they all came in and they all stared at me. And then they were like, we're going to send you down to the ER now. And so that's what they did. And then luckily my doctor had been by earlier that day, and he'd mentioned that he would be in the hospital that night. And so I was like, call my doctor right now.
Right now.
Yeah.
Well, just quickly, you went on to have a second child. How old are your kids now, and how is everybody?
They are 12 and 10, and they are all giants and healthy. You know, you can see me here, Steve. I'm like 5 feet tall. I'm a munchkin. And my kids are both they will pass me within the next month, both of them.
Wow.
Like, yeah.
Wow.
No one can believe they're mine.
We have more to talk about with author Jen Mann, author of Working with People I Want to Punch in the Throat, like how she finally realized her dream of becoming a writer. And welcome back to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. This hour, Jen Mann is our guest. Her latest book, Working with People I Want to Punch in the Throat, traces her employment journey from teenage babysitter to best-selling author. You know, you mentioned you changed your major in college to pursue a career in writing, Jen. The years following graduation found you moving from Kansas to New York and back again. And in all that time, you hadn't written a thing, right?
That's correct.
Yikes. Yeah. Yeah. You were concerned about that.
I was. You know, I think what had happened was in college, I had been pretty gung-ho when I first got there. And then later on, I met a professor who ended up being my advisor, and he told me...
He wasn't all that encouraging.
He was terrible.
Yeah.
He told me that no one would buy a want ad that I wrote.
Wow.
And he instead encouraged me to just find a husband. That's...
You're kidding me.
No, and again, these are the 90s, people. This is not like 1965,
yeah.
You know? But that was just sort of his thing. He was like, well, you should just find a husband, and then you don't have to worry about it. So I did not find a husband and I did not start writing. I think he just had really, really hurt my confidence and my psyche, I guess, about it. And I just sort of gave up. I thought, well, you have to go through a certain path to do writing. You know, I felt like when I was in New York, I would maybe just somehow bump into an agent on the street.
Who,
kind of a movie type thing. Oh, you must be a writer. Let me see your work. And I felt like I didn't have time, which I think is another big complaint that a lot of writers, people who want to write, say, is that they feel like, you know, I felt like I'd have to have the perfect situation to sit down and write, and I never had that, and so I didn't start writing until I had two kids and a full-time job and a husband and a house and cars and all these things that I had to take care of. And then I started a blog, and that's where I first started writing, and that's where I found my audience, that's where I found my voice, and my confidence was there.
I was going to say, the turning point for you, if I remember right, was when you posted that blog post about the Elf on the Shelf. What happened there, and what was that post about?
Yeah, that was I started my blog in April of 2011, and then that December I wrote a post about the Elf. He's a little doll that we all have out at Christmas time, and I was frustrated because I kept forgetting to move him, and I said something about it on social media, and friends of mine all chimed in and said they forgot to, and, you know, it's just a problem. And then someone who didn't have kids came back and said, oh, you moms, you just need a system. And she dropped a link to 101 ideas of things to do with this doll, and it was things like trash your kitchen and say he did it, you know, switch everybody's closets in the middle of the night. And I'm thinking, like, my house is already trashed. I'm exhausted. Like, what are you talking about? I can't do this. And it made me feel like, no, I am a good mom. I just keep forgetting to move the stupid doll, but I don't need to rearrange everybody's lunches and, you know, make it a joke just to be a good mom. And so I wrote this rant in about 10 minutes, I think. I just spit it out. I was so frustrated. And I put it out on my blog like normal, and I had 70 readers. And over the next week, somehow, something happened. I wish I knew. I'd bottle it and sell it. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd do it every day if I knew what happened. But organically, it caught fire, and in 24 hours, it had 1 million reads, and I started some social media accounts for the blog, and I got about 17,000 people that first night to follow me, and I'm sitting in a corner rocking, because again, you know, this is kind of the first time I've written in 15 years, and I'm still not sure how I feel about my writing, and now I have all these people reading it, and I was freaking out, and I'm sort of rocking and crying in a corner, and my husband he's kind of a numbers guy, so he's just watching these numbers on the analytics and getting all...
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Like, yeah. He's just, look at this, Jen, look at this. You know, this is amazing. And I'm like, whoa. And so finally, he said, well, what are you going to write tomorrow? And I said, I'll never... I'll never top this. I'll never. And he's like, you're right. You probably won't. But who cares? You have 17,000 people who want to hear what you have to say.
Because he recognized the key to a blog is to keep doing it every single day.
He
right?
did. He did. He was like, you have to feed it. And so he said, you know, you have 17,000 people sitting here. You've always told me on our very first date, you told me you wanted to be a writer. Here is your opportunity. It has been given to you. Go write something. And he said, I'm going to put the kids to bed, and I can't wait to see what you wrote. I'll see you in the morning. And
no kidding.
I sat up that night, and I wrote, and I wrote full-time on the blog 5 days a week for the next probably, I don't know, 6 or 7 months, something like that, to keep them fed. And then I started writing books.
I was going to say the Punch in the Throat books then became an extension, a natural extension of what you were doing online, right?
Right. Yeah. There were stories. You know, the blog is interesting because it only has, you know, you have to write something short and fast on the blog. And so the books are more like full-length essays. And so I had stories that I could tell that would go better for a book. And my readers were asking for a book. And so that's where these books came from.
I understand you've also written your first book of fiction for young adults. Tell us about My Lame Life, Queen of the Misfits.
Right. Well, that one is really, that one's for my kids. As I said before, they're 12 and 10. When I started blogging, they were 4 and 6. And, you know, I think one of the questions I get asked a lot is, do your kids read the blog? Because my blog is spicy. I'm a swear. I'm a cusser. And I don't cuss in front of my kids, though. So I was like, no, my kids don't read the blog because I don't want them to know these words or whatever. Plus, I think it would be boring for kids to read the blog. But about 2 years ago, my son asked me to write a book that he could read. And my daughter was like, yeah, write something for us. And so I wrote this book for them. It's a series. I'm working on the second one right now. So it's planned out to be a series of books, and it's for young adults, middle grade young adults.
I wonder, as you've watched your books rise on the New York Times bestseller list, how much satisfaction you've taken in that, and maybe you would like to point that out to your professor who discouraged you so profoundly back in the day.
Yeah.
Yes. As a matter of fact, yes.
Yes, yeah. I would. Unfortunately, no. Yeah, he and I do not keep in touch, so maybe someone will send it to him.
Someday. Well, Jen Mann, her latest book, Working with People, I Want a Punch in the Throat. You can see and hear her at 6 o'clock tomorrow evening at SOT Downtown. More information on her website, peopleiwantapunchinthethroat.com. Jen, always good to have you here. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Steve. I really love coming here.